Welcome, welcome, everybody. Sorry, I'm having some technical difficulties. Give me one sec. All right. Great. It's so good to be with all of you. It's our second to last class. Oh my gosh. So, before we jump into our work for today, a couple of housekeeping pieces. The first is we have our call today, which is a ritual as a coaching tool. And then we don't have class next week, but the week after, we have our very last class. And I want to just note it should be on all of your calendars. But I just want to note that it's a 2-hour class, not a 90-minute class. If you can make that class live, I highly, highly, highly recommend doing whatever you can to make it live. We still have a lot of, you know me, I'm going to put a lot of curriculum in. There's a lot of curriculum in it. But we also have the time and space integrated into the curriculum is an opportunity for us to really do a little bit of a final, for now, integration of our whole journey together. And I think you'll really love it and appreciate it. And for sure, you could do it via recording if you need to. But being there live, I think you will appreciate it. If you can. So that's one thing. The second thing I wanted to mention is our Facebook group. We haven't been too active in it this whole time. But even so, just so you know, it'll be open until May 22nd. If there are any questions that you want to ask there, or like ways that you want to still connect with each other, whatever it is, you've got until May 22nd. When we close the Facebook group, we don't delete it, so we archive it. So what that means is it's there for you to go back to if there's anything that you want to look at, if there is something there for you or links or whatever it is, but we just don't add. We just can't add posts or comments after the 22nd. The reason I do that is it's all about containers, right? So we open containers in the beginning of programs, we close containers at the end of programs. Even though we haven't used the Facebook group that much in this cohort, it's still an open container, and it's like the energy can like slowly like putter out. So I like to give a couple days after we're done, and then we close it. Because I cannot say, I am so bad at saying goodbye. And it's, I know it's time with the, and also all the things. And I know I will be seeing many of you in anyway, in advanced and in embody. And if you're still interested in either of those, let me know. But that being said, because I don't want to say goodbye to you just yet. On May 31st, I am going to be holding a public 3-hour workshop that you are all gifted. I'm bonused into. You have a gift spot in if you want to come. You'll get an email about it. It is called, what is it called? It is called Wicked Stepmothers and Lowly Handmaidens, Transmuting Jealousy into Empowerment. I've done it live once before, even if you were there live. I recommend coming live again. We're going to be doing some shadow work. We're going to be going into the shadows of jealousy and envy and competition. We're going to use the Cinderella story as an archetypal metaphor to get deep into these issues and really do some beautiful inner work on reclaiming the healthy, aligned version of competition and being competitive, so that you have that energy as a positive force for you and the world and competitors out there to go forward and do better and better. So you'll get an invite to that, but if you want to be there live, put it in your calendar. It's May 31st, 1:30 to 4:30 Eastern. Deva, yeah, we're starting at the same time as we always do for our last class. We just go a half hour later. I've said this before, but just as a reminder, you have our class, everything that you have in the member center, you have for life, until at which point I like close down my business and can't support the member center anymore. But I would, if should that happen, I will give you plenty of time. So don't feel like you have to rush through everything and download things. And, you know, before we're done, you have that for yourself. Title of the workshop is Wicked Stepmothers and Lowly Handmaidens, Transmuting, I think the subtitle is Transmuting Jealousy into Empowerment. You'll get an email about it. You may have already received an email. I don't know if it got sent out this week or if it's going to be sent out next week, about a testimonial. If you feel called to write a testimonial and about your experience in Sacred Depths and what you loved about it and about some of your successes and forward movement, I would be incredibly, incredibly grateful. First and foremost, because I read the testimonials and I take them in to my heart. I used to, when I get testimonials, like not read them and just put them aside because I couldn't take it in. It was actually too painful for me, but I've done a lot of work on it over the years. And now I open up ready to receive, and it really gives me, it just nourishes me so much. And I would also be appreciative, because your words, they just go so far when someone is considering stepping into the program, hearing from people that have been through it about what it was like for you, and what you received is just so powerful. So no worries if you're not able to write one, but if you are able and willing, I would really, really appreciate it. Any questions on any logistics pieces or any certification pieces? I'm just going to turn the light on before we continue.
I have a question. What is the deadline for us to submit all the documents and the recording for the certification?
I should know that offhand, and I don't.
Okay.
It'll take me, if you go into the member center, there's a tab. And, you know, my team doesn't like it when I say this, but I say it because it's the truth. If you can't get I really, really, really want to invite you to get your certification materials in by the day that is listed in the member center. That being said, life happens. Sometimes we need more time. We will accept your materials when you are ready. If you want to be certified, we will make sure that you get certified. So
wonderful. Thank you.
Don't use that as an excuse, anyone, but just don't just know that you've got leeway in there.
Thank you.
Yeah. Any other questions? Okay, I am always excited to look at ritual. It's one of my favorite things. And for sure, you know, we've already been way off the beaten path of traditional coaching in this program for a while, maybe even from the beginning. But for sure, ritual is pretty far off the traditional path and the beaten path. And it's like, I'm excited to share with you. I know that we have like a whole spectrum in our group in terms of experience with ritual. Some of you have never done ritual or experienced ritual before, although that might not even be true. And all the way to like very experienced decades of holding space for ritual. Wherever you are on that spectrum, there will still be places to lean in for you today, to learn more, to go deeper, to receive inspired ideas and inspiration. We could spend many, many months on just on ritual alone. Programs that are just on ritual, but we're going to just do 90 minutes, but we're going to get to some powerful pieces, foundational pieces, tools for you, for your clients, and for yourself. When you use ritual with clients, it allows you to tap into the cognitive, the emotional, the spirit, and the body levels of learning all at once. And this is one of the many, many, many reasons why I love ritual, is it's this incredible way to activate all four levels of learning and processing at once. You can do ritual in a session with a client holding space for them, or you can co-create a ritual together for your client to do on their own, depending on the situation. And I've done both. So what is ritual? Let's start there. And there's so much to it, but for now, I'm going to give these kind of pieces of definition for us to think about. What is ritual? Well, number one, it's taking an action to make the intangible tangible. Taking an action to make the intangible tangible. So what I mean by that is ritual is a way to take something that is inside of us that is intangible, like an idea, a way of being, a pattern, wanting to release a fear, a wanting to confront a part of ourselves, a wanting to start something new, a wanting to cleanse ourselves of something. And the ritual takes that intangible idea and through the action makes it tangible. We can touch it. We can hold it. We take it out of ourselves and we can see it and we can enact it. And this is a powerful way of going deeper with the desire, with the idea, with the intention. And it signals through all of those four levels of learning and processing, it signals to us that we're more ready for it. Another way of thinking about this is one of my very first ritual mentors, Susan Mary Hellerer, she always called ritual sacred play. Sacred play. When you think about kids and, you know, they play library and they play teacher and they play house and they play doctor, ritual, Yael plays ritualist and coach all the time. Whatever it is that they play, they're playing themselves into being. It's through the play that they're learning and they're growing and they're signaling to their psyches the growth. Same when we do ritual, it is our way of playing ourselves into being. into wherever that next place is, wherever that evolution that we want to go to. That makes sense? Yeah. Ritual is also an opportunity for sacred space. So it's an opportunity to create containers if we're doing ritual for ourselves or with our clients or helping a client create a ritual for themselves, to create a container where we don't have all of the hustle and the bustle and we need to do more and the technology distraction and all the things that take us away from our beingness, from being with ourselves in sacred space. So then as an extension of that, ritual is also an opportunity for us to connect more deeply with ourselves and our souls. It's an opportunity also for us to connect with nature and the cycles. That's why nature, there's so many like nature metaphors that make the intangible tangible, right? Leaves falling from the trees, symbolizing release, new seedlings, symbolizing growth. And oftentimes we use nature and ideas of seasons and cycles in ritual because it is like nature gives us so many of the ultimate metaphors and the making the intangible tangible. Ritual can also be an opportunity to mark an important moment and work through a transition. An opportunity to mark an important moment and work through a transition. That's why we have kind of these baked in rituals in our society for transition moments, right? Blowing out birthday candles, getting a diploma, marking important moments and transitions. And this can be personal transitions or communal transitions. I always like to say, before there was therapy, there was religion. And before there was religion, there was ritual. Ritual has been used for millennia in the community to move through grief, to celebrate together in community, to acknowledge, to mark the seasons and the important moments, to be with fear, all the things. And, you know, I'll just share this as like my truth, and you can try it out for yourself to see if it resonates for you. But I feel really strongly that we don't have enough ritual. We don't have enough rituals in our lives and in our culture. That Western culture has become kind of devoid of real meaningful ritual. And because we don't have enough ritual, that's what I believe is part of what contributes to a lack of feeling meaning in modern lives, not maybe for each one of us specifically, but in the culture, a lack of connection. People feel so disconnected to themselves, to spirit, to community. rituals can be done in community and they can also be done solo. And I think both are important and have their place. And I'll just share very briefly my kind of story of coming to ritual. So when I was in my 20s, I lived in New York City. And for those of you that know the city, there's a place called the Open Center there. And it's been around forever. It's got like meditation classes and self-development classes, all the things. And I was skimming through the catalog and I saw a class offering. The class was called Woman Ritual. And it was a 6-week class about seasons and cycles and ritual. And I don't remember what the 3 or 4 sentence description said anymore, but what I do remember is this. I read this description about how women had been the keepers of ritual for millennia throughout so many cultures. And there was something about the writing that reminded me of something that I knew when I was a little girl, but I had forgotten. And it was that the world is a magical place, and I'm part of that magic. And I quick signed up for that 6-week class, and it was magic. It really changed me. You feel tears welling up. It brought back meaning in just such a beautiful and sacred way for me. And after that 6-week class, I became an apprentice for a couple of years in this women's community. I set up every new moon and full moon and earth holiday ritual, and I cleaned up and did the grunt work, but I learned a lot. And the truth is, even before that class, ritual I didn't realize it, but ritual had always played a big role in my life. Just coming from Jewish background, Judaism is rich with ritual. We light candles every Friday night to delineate between the sacred and the mundane. And my life had always been dripping with ritual, but it was that class that really brought me back to it. And last personal thing for now, ritual for me, aside from it, the joy of sharing it, you know, professionally and holding space and rituals for others and teaching them, which has just been so meaningful for me and continues to be, on a personal level, similar to journaling, like we were talking about last time, ritual has gotten me through many moments in my life, has made those moments either more meaningful or has really helped me get through the moment. So, you know, just 2 examples. One, my wedding, being the ritualist that I am, I wasn't just gonna like do whatever the motions. The ritual was way more important to me than the party. And one of the many things that John and I did, speaking of making the intangible tangible for our wedding ceremony, that was just so meaningful for me, is beforehand, we asked our best friends to send us a word, each person to send us a word of a prayer that they had for our marriage. And then we had those prayers painted by an artist in English and Hebrew on our chuppah, our wedding canopy. And we got married underneath all of the blessings. And it just made it more meaningful. One other example, before I got pregnant with Penina, I really wanted to get pregnant and I had a miscarriage. And it was very, very difficult, as you can imagine, and you might know for yourself. And part of my way of processing it was through ritual. And so because I am a ritualist and often thinking about these things, I thought to catch some of the blood as I was miscarrying, and I saved it. And then when I was ready, I went to a place outside of the city, to one of my favorite places in the mountains, and I honored the blood and the human that wasn't, and buried it. And I needed that making the intangible tangible as part of the grief and release process for myself. All right, so I've been talking a lot. Let me pause here. What is resonating for you? What's sparking for you? What's feeling important for you so far? Who wants to share? Don't be shy. Jennifer.
Hi. Probably because I facilitate women's circles and, you know, use a lot of ritual, the impact that it has on people. And really watching the magic and the medicine that comes out of that. And it is, there's so much power in making that intangible tangible. And it's just like, it cements something for people, it shifts something, and it's really just beautiful. Yeah. So I incorporate it all the time now, and it's been life-changing, truly.
Yeah. You do it so often and so well. Yeah. And I love that what you said, like the cementing, it does. Mm-hmm. Cements these things in deep ways.
Yeah.
Thank you. Who else? What do you want to share? What's feeling important? What's striking you? Julie.
I just was first wanted to share. I was so moved by the piece of what you just shared about your experience with your miscarriage, and that felt really profound. And I'm glad that you did that for yourself. And I was reminded as you were sharing about all of the ritual in Jewish tradition, and my experience and my upbringing. I feel like we were not super religious, but certainly lit candles on Friday nights for Shabbos, and always had seders. And I regret that I didn't really like take in and hold on to or have that experience, like Jennifer was mentioning, of the significance and the meaning of those rituals being cemented into me. And so I didn't really raise my daughter that way, and so as much as I might have, but she's really leaning into learning and teaching and wanting to incorporate Jewish heritage and ritual and tradition into her life and her visions for starting a family. So I love that. And I recently passed my mother's menorah on to her. But I was also just thinking about, I was writing this morning, well, all day, and thinking about my dad and his writing practice and how he started every day. But he would get up before the sun every day and just sit in darkness waiting for the sun and waiting for his inspiration. And really, like, he just felt that his muse was there with him in those moments of early morning darkness and the start of day, and that that was a ritual for him. And I guess I'm really enjoying and celebrating that I'm leaning more into my own practice of writing. So yeah. It was just nice to reflect on it and feel that as ritual.
I love that. Yes. And there's this other whole other meaning of ritual around the things that we do ritually over and over again, and the meaning there too. Beautiful. Thank you. Rin is saying in the chat, I enjoy, yes, the mundane rituals such as brushing my teeth or making coffee or tea. And yes, about the disconnect. Yeah. Anything else that anyone wants to add in before we keep on going? Okay. So, like I said, there's so much that we can look at when it comes to ritual. What I want to do for the rest of our time together today is, now that we kind of have a context for what ritual is to just share a couple of different ideas, and then we're going to spend the rest of the call similar to last week. I'm going to share some scenarios and we're going to brainstorm rituals that can be created around them. What we're looking at today is specifically through the lens of one-on-one work. And we'll also look at when would be good moments to introduce this with a client. You know, when would be a good moment to introduce this with a client? Something else I wanted to say. Oh, just as another way of thinking about ritual, because this could come up in client work as well. Is there something big that's happening in their life that they can use as ritual? Is there something big happening in their life that they can use, that actual thing that's happening is a way of making the intangible tangible? So again, I'll give you a couple of examples from my own life. When we moved from the New York area to Charlotte, I think I've mentioned before, it was huge. It was like, my parents were really upset that I was leaving. It was really a big moment of individuation from my parents, and a big moment of becoming my own person. And I did a lot of inner work to prepare, and afterwards I still do inner work around it. But the actual plane ride, where we, you know, our stuff was on the truck coming here, but we took a plane when we moved, and I used that as a ritual, the actual plane ride. So when we were on the ground in New York, I was imagining all of the things that I was intentionally ready to leave behind in my life in New York. And I really, you know, as the plane took off, I felt the leaving behind, and I tried as much as I could to stay present on that ride, to be in my body and to feel myself crossing over the threshold of that transition into the new and what I was moving towards. This Friday, as I think you all know, I'm going to have a surgery. I'm having part of my cervix removed, and I'm using that as a ritual for myself. It's a great opportunity, especially happening on an eclipse, of what I'm releasing, you know, what is being eclipsed from my life. And I've done a lot of prep work for myself on what that piece of my cervix represents for me that I'm honoring and also letting go. I'm doing it partly because I also need more meaning for this thing that is very scary for me. You know, it's a way of holding it, but it's really like, it's really allowing me to move forward into it in a much different way. Does that make sense? Okay. All right. So as I go, I'm going to share different, I don't know, for lack of a better word, some types of rituals, just to kind of, I mean, there's so many dozens, you know, but just to kind of like get some ideas going and ways of thinking about things. I already mentioned we do, for as much as we're devoid of ritual, we do have rituals in society, like birthday candles, making a wish at fountains, right? Throwing a penny in. That's a making the intangible tangible. So we can draw from those things too and give them more meaning in specific moments when we're working with clients and ourselves. And then just like the important note that I want to make also as we look into this is, and we won't talk about it here because I'm not equipped to do it in a really meaningful way, but I'll share some resources in the Facebook group. We do just want to make sure when we create rituals for ourselves and with our clients that we're not culturally appropriating. There's a lot of that we see out there in the spiritual and transformational industries right now of, you know, stealing from culture and not naming where it comes from, et cetera. And so I'll give you all some information to do more of your own research on that if ritual is something that you want to pursue more for yourself. Okay. One type of way to think of ritual or a part of a ritual are release rituals. So creating a ritual that can help your client release a belief, a pattern, a relationship that they no longer want, a way of being that isn't working for them anymore, a home that's no longer aligned for them, a type of ideal client that's no longer aligned for them, right? Like sky's the limit on what we might remember. We never want to release fears though. I always like to underscore that. We need the fear, right? It's the smoke detector. We might want to release the way we respond to a certain fear or a belief that we have about a fear, but I generally don't do like release of fear itself. So many different ritual ways to release something. You can write something on a piece of paper and burn it, or bury it, or find an object that symbolizes the thing that you want to release and bury it. You could rip up, write something on a piece of paper and rip it up and flush it down the toilet. You can shake it out of yourself, dust it out of yourself, to create something that represents what you want to release and destroy it. So many different ways. I always like to think the elements, right? Like you can release something with water, you can release something with fire. Air, you know, neither here or there, you can bury it in the earth. A little kind of thing to think about when you're releasing or supporting clients to release ritually is I always find it's really valuable before we release anything to take a moment and honor it first. Honor the purpose that it has served up, and you know, we've held on, whatever it is, we've held on to it up until now because it served us in some way or protected us in some way or done something for us. So it's very hard to let go of something if you don't honor it first. even if we go back to understanding the seasons, and if we think of winter as release, of letting go, right before winter is autumn, and autumn is so much about acknowledging and harvesting the fruits of the labor before, you know, going into the compost. So even if, for example, we think it's a relationship that just sucks, a romantic, you know, we got like nothing from it, doing some of the harvesting to say, okay, what, if nothing else, what did I learn about myself from this, right? And then honor those learnings before releasing. The other thing I always like to say about releasing when I'm leading rituals is sometimes we release something once and it's done, but more often it's part of a process, and we release something over time, multiple times, and each time we're getting to the next evolution and cycle of it. All right, let me pause there. Any thoughts that this is sparking for you, or questions? Michelle.
Yeah, thanks. I love this topic so much. And thank you for the stories that you have shared. I think, and this is, I feel like this is really obvious, but there's something in me that just wants to say it. And it has to do a little bit with what you just said, but also the idea of the appropriation. I relate to what you just said. My therapist one time said, this is not a one ritual kind of event that, you know, that we're working with here. But I feel like there's so much, maybe online, on social, where, you know, it's this kind of, this sounds really judgy, it appears to be this kind of glorified, maybe slightly manufactured, like the event of, or more of a show of a ritual, and then this expectation of like, and you know, and now it's over, like you're saying, I did this and now I'm free and it's over. And it just doesn't seem to acknowledge the real life of, we continue to work with the texture of things and we orbit around and all of that. And I know just in a basic way, that's something that we work with our clients on, like we just name these things very plainly. But I'm wondering if you have any other thoughts about that, like just the, maybe a little bit more of like the advertised idea of ritual versus what we're talking about, which I might call a little more sacred or honoring or just real human aspect. I don't know if that's making sense, but
it makes so much sense. I'm so glad you're bringing it forward. And I agree. I think there is a lot, and, you know, like you're saying, don't want to be judgy, because different strokes for different folks and all the things. I think, tell me if this is a satisfying answer. I think what I can just speak to is like how your choice and how you if you're going to write about it or market about it, like you get to choose how you do it, right? And you get to choose if you tell a story about a ritual that was once and done, you know, a ritual can totally change your life and not also do the whole thing and not be once and done, right? So it's not that we have to undercut how amazing the experience was or the breakthrough was, right? But you get to choose how you speak to it and how you describe it and what is going to feel most like authentic and ethical and in integrity to you. So I think that's a big piece, is like, how do you want to share about it? What do you want people to know about it? And then forget about whatever.
I think that's the important part, because it is just owning my own and giving other people their experience and their agency as well. Because I think a part of what's coming up is is almost wanting to like defend ritual. And if someone has an experience where it's like, well, that didn't work, or and definitely some appropriation stuff coming up in there as well. And so, yes, just speaking to my own and sharing from my own authentic place and what I know to be true. And yeah, that's all super important.
Yeah. And then the other piece I'll add, which is more on the ritual end of things, which is, you know, if we look at it, even just through a coaching lens too, is how are we integrating breakthrough versus transformation into our rituals? So just as an example, in a moment, we'll look at initiating rituals, right? So let's say you initiate something by putting seeds that symbolize this new thing that you want to initiate, you know, into a planter. Don't have the ritual end there. Have the planter on your desk and water it every day or every few days, and have the watering be an extension of the ritual of continuing to embody the intention of, you know, maybe there's another ritual that comes with the watering where you write down an action around the intention every day. But think about also the breakthrough to transformation, even within the rituals that get created. Good. I'm so glad you brought that up.
Yeah. If I can just say one more thing that I was feeling when you were talking in the beginning, and then I raised my hand at this later point, but I think this is also what I was maybe wanting to name just for myself, because I have had some really profound life experiences similar to what you have described. And maybe it was for my own, where like that ritual didn't fix it per se. And so yes, the power of ritual, and that it's not always that magical band-aid. And I know that's sort of what we're speaking around, and I'm saying in a different way. Maybe it just feels important to me to name, like I had this, you know, these major traumas, and even though I practiced ritual, and even though it did serve as, it served its purpose in my sacred process, it's not like, oh, that just tied the bow around it. This feels
like great. It's like how it's like with everything, it's one tool. And I always think of, in general, I may have shared this at some point, like whenever we see like the big change, you know, when someone like crosses over, maybe, and finally like changes a pattern, or, you know, whatever it is, whether we see it or not, there is a whole domino effect that is leading up to, there's a whole series of things over time that have happened to see like the big explosion of the, right? If that even happens, who knows? Like, I think there's some, and so I think ritual is one or more of the dominoes on the road. And I think it is important when we, especially in our marketing, that we're clear on that, that it's not a magic bullet. Yeah. Lisa.
I hadn't really thought of it before, but I had some surgery a few years ago, and it felt like a sacred act somehow. I got my, and I did so much preparation. Yeah. And it was kind of like, it was hard, challenging, but beautiful at the same time. It was really, really strange. And the interesting thing, and I'm happy to share more if any of this is useful for you, you know, personally, but the interesting thing for me was, as I was recovering in this hospital bed, it took me 2 days to recover. They said it would take 4, and everybody else in the ward was in a bad state. And I'm like, I was not blissed out, but I was totally at peace, and it was just amazing.
I love it. You did have something, a magical transition happen. Yeah. if you haven't already, it might be valuable to go back now and reflect on, like, what was that transition point for you? What was the shift? What did you let go of? What was the before and after for you?
I let go of 12 pints of fluid. It was an ovarian cyst with 12 pints of fluid. It was massive.
Yeah. Love it. Yeah. And, Thank you for sharing.
Yeah, I just wanted to share because I just, if any essence of that resonates for you as well, it's like,
No, I appreciate it. Thank you. I hope to be the happiest one in the war. Yeah, it goes.
I'll send you the vibe. I'll send you the vibe.
I'll take that. okay, some other types of, again, there's so many, but just to be thinking, what I would categorize as honoring rituals, honoring, owning, or celebrating rituals. We can almost put in the same category, even each one of those is a little different. So it might be that there's a moment in a client's life where they're really ready to own something. You know, maybe you've been working on it in your coaching and there's something that they're really ready to own or honor or celebrate. That could be a beautiful moment for a ritual. So as an example, I have more than one client that we've done a queen ritual for. Each one has been different. And it's important to mention that, just like always coach the what based on the who, always co-create the ritual with your client based on the who. In one of my side note related, one of the many ways that ritual has played a role in my life is when I first started my business, I also became a legal wedding. You have to be a legal wedding officiant in New York City. And so I got to be part of I married people and I got to be part of people's lives at a moment where they were about to get married, and I got to create these rituals with them and then facilitate it at their weddings. And every single one of those ceremonies was different and unique, meeting the needs of what that couple was and what they wanted their marriage to be and how they wanted to show up for it and what kind of promises they wanted to make. And of course, for some of them, their cultural traditions and all of that. So always, always co-ritual the what based on the who as well. Anyway, back to honoring, owning, and celebrating rituals. As an example, with one of my clients, we'd been working a lot in our coaching on her, like really owning her mastery as a practitioner. And at a certain point, like I knew she was right. We were speaking of the domino effect, right? It's not like the ritual is what created the ownership. We've been working on it for months in our coaching. And then when I felt like she was really ready and ripe and like ready to tip over, we co-created this ritual where first she took a bath. And the bath was kind of this ceremonial and metaphoric cleansing herself of the old beliefs of not being good enough as a practitioner. And then she got out of the bath and she anointed herself, different parts of her, she anointed her mind and really honored all of the ways that her mind showed up in her coaching. And she anointed her voice and her throat and all the ways she used her voice and her expression and her heart and her womb, all of that. And then she decorated a paper. It sounds silly, but it was meaningful, right? Like she decorated a paper crown and named herself queen of whatever it is she named herself and put the crown on her head. And there was another piece too, I don't remember, but it was just this really beautiful, meaningful rite of passage for this particular client to make all of that work that we had done tangible in this kind of focal point, tangible way. That makes sense. Sometimes it can honoring, owning, celebrating can be a very simple ritual, getting a pretty piece of paper and writing on that piece of paper what it is that you're owning, what it is that you're celebrating, right? And the paper then takes on the meaning, right? The making the intangible tangible of this thing. And I always, with things like that, you know, I like to put it on my heart, on my belly, like really connect somatically with the ritual object. Jennifer knows because she was with me in person last week. We can use eating something as a way of honoring, owning, celebrating. So last week we were working on reclaiming our shadows. And after we had done a bit of work, we're doing some other work with Persephone, and it had to do with pomegranates. And each person at the retreat drank a little bit of pomegranate juice as a way of taking in more of this shadow in an empowering way. I got that idea from Jewish tradition, where in Passover Seder, we eat bitter herbs to honor the bitterness, right? And there's communion in Catholicism, you know, so these types of things we find across many cultures also. Maybe eating honey to honor and celebrate something sweet. I did that once with a couple in a wedding ceremony. Actually, it was so beautiful in their wedding ceremony. Together, they fed each other something sweet. They fed each other something spicy so that they also had spiciness. And they fed each other something bitter to symbolize that they will be with each other through the grief as well. So, so beautiful. All right, I'm going to start moving more quickly. And I'm just touching the surface to just generate ideas. Sky's the limit on any of these things, really. And other types of rituals, you know, I'm a Virgo, I like to categorize, setting intention, rituals, right? When you want to start a new habit, a new belief, a new project, a new vision, new home, et cetera, et cetera. Some ways that you can do intentions, and you can mix and match any of these as well also, but creating an object, any kind of object that will symbolize the new intention, doing some candle magic, getting a candle and carving symbols and words into the candle that symbolize the intention, and then lighting the candle, and then having that candle by your bed or your desk and lighting it every day for 30 days to reignite the intention, planting seeds, drawing on rocks, setting intentions on rocks, and then letting the rock soak in the sun energy or the moon energy overnight. Finding a piece of jewelry that you already own that you want to infuse with an intention, and then you wear it every day. Cleansing rituals, a little similar to releasing, but a little different. I think of release as like I'm really wanting to let go of this thing. Cleansing, more like cleansing myself. Anything with water, great for cleansing rituals, baths, salt, using brooms, you know, cleaning out a room in your house with a broom, but that symbolizes what you're cleaning out of your life. Even organizing your desk, you can make that into a ritual for what are you metaphorically organizing or cleansing? All right, let me pause there. Thoughts, ideas, inspirations. What are you noticing or taking? Lisa Singh, when I have a new client sign up, I put their name on my vision board and put a shiny star next to their name. Yes, I have a similar kind of thing. Whenever I'm filling a program, I write out the number of spots that I want. And like, they're already, you know, there and taken, and I'm just waiting for the names to come in. And then as each person registers, I send them so much like love, and I lovingly write their name down. I used to also get little dolls. Like if I wanted 12 people in a program, I used to get like little dolls, and I would put them all, the little dolls, in a circle. And then as each one signed up, I would name each doll, and I would just like have that. I love that you're bringing that up. Yes. And please feel free to share in the chat. Anything that anyone else wants to say or share before we move on? I've got just a little bit more to share about ritual, and then we'll do some brainstorming together. What are you seeing? What's feeling important? What's popping for you? What's moving through you? Michelle Singh, I also love that part of the magic of ritual and intention is that we devote more time and energy to something, and we give it our focus and our attention, probably resulting in more practicality into the thing as well. Absolutely. Absolutely. I do think that's part of the magic. We focus on it. Vlada.
I actually wanted to share that I'm recognizing a feeling coming around, and I'm not sure what is it about. And as you were sharing already in the beginning, Joanna, it's a feeling of sadness. Perhaps it's related to what you were talking about, like how devoid our society has become of it. But in a way, I think the deeper meaning for me is that it's actually been hard to sustain or even initiate rituals. And I'm wondering about why, as they are so meaningful to people, for sure.
Yeah.
Is it just that it's hard to sustain something that goes against the grain of the larger culture and us being the bearers of that sort of having to externalize more effort into it? But I recognize that it's that certain things that have grown into a ritual, say a family ritual or a work practice ritual, have been very hard to sustain.
Yeah. So I want to normalize that. You know, and you're talking about a ritual that's a habit, that's a more than once. And again, we can think of rituals as like these habits, like ritualized things, or here is a moment where I'm doing a ritual once that's going to signal things to my psyche, give me that focus, etc. So in terms of the over and over again, you're not alone in that. And I'll just share for myself. I don't, you don't do like ritual regular. I don't have like this is the ritual that I do regularly, in part because I think it's about habits, and habits are hard. I'm like, yeah. Thank goodness I brush my teeth every day, you know? So I want to normalize that and say, if you are feeling called to a consistent ritual, don't give up. Number one, I might invite you to do some writing on this and why it's so hard and what some of the barriers have been. Number two, I would invite you not to apply any myth of perfection, right? And one thing about like habits is if you get off the bandwagon, just get back on without shame or guilt or making yourself wrong or, okay, I didn't do it today, I'm going to do it tonight, you know, whatever it is. I didn't do it for 3 days with me. It's more like I didn't do it for Yeah, all right, I'm gonna do it now, right? So try to have love and compassion and don't apply myth of perfection. And then as with anything, when it comes to a new habit, what's the simplest, easiest way, right? So if it's not 20 minutes of ritual, can we start with 1 minute, right? Where it's just every morning I'm lighting a candle. What is the simplest, easiest way? Another way to think of it is, can I slip this into a ritual that I already have? Mm-hmm. So I am already brushing my teeth every day. So can I use my teeth brushing for the next month as a cleansing of this particular metaphoric thing that I want to cleanse myself of? So I don't even have to devote extra time to it. I just need to think, remember it when I brush my teeth.
Mm-hmm.
What are you hearing that's important or useful for you in all of this?
The releasing the myth of perfection is a big thing. But perhaps actually beyond that, as things do happen, to actually give them, recognize that they already are happening. Say like a traditional trip that you take with your family. It is a ritual of some sort, even though perhaps you do these little things that happen every time, or at least you attempt to do them. So just recognize that that is already a ritual and imbue and the additional meaning into it.
Yeah, don't add anything extra if there's not the space for that. Find the meaning and the ritual in what you're already doing.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Thank you. Good.
Thank you for voicing that. I know you're not the only one.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's do some brainstorming. I'll give you a minute to write some things down. First, we'll kind of start with this. If you were to create a birthday, first we'll start with yourself. If you were to create a birthday ritual for yourself, for your next birthday, making some intangible things tangible, what's a ritual you might create? Remember sacred play. And what would you want to make tangible on your next birthday? And how would you want to do that? All right, let's hear some shares. What might you do for, always coach the what based on the who. This is for you, right? But let's hear some ideas. What might go into your next birthday ritual? Deva.
Oh, this is fun because mine's coming up in just about a month. So
perfect timing.
Yeah, and my cousin, who's 6 months older than I, will be here for it to celebrate with me, and it will be after teaching a 5-day retreat at Esalen. So I would love to hike and make the hike part of like a pilgrimage down to the ocean. And there's a couple private beaches near where I live. So being able to skinny dip and really allow in a more, because I do this often, but I like to make it more of a ritual, that cleansing of all the struggles from last year, but also to honor everything that I've learned from them. Mm-hmm. It's warm enough to have time to just sunbathe, and then that ritual of just letting the more penetrating masculine energy of the sun really fill me with strength and light for the year to come. And then hiking back up to the house and having just being nourished by a really beautiful meal and maybe a handful of friends, but not anything too big.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. I love it. It's so beautiful. I love that it involves so much nature. If you wanted, only if this resonates, I would invite you to do some, just a little bit of prep work mm-hmm. beforehand. So maybe beforehand to make a list of when you go into the ocean and do that cleanse. What are some of the things from this last year that you would like to be cleansed of? Mm-hmm. And you mentioned lessons, you know, what are some of the lessons that you then want to honor through the cleansing? For the sunbathing, you could do a little prep work. You know, you said you wanted to take in the masculine and the strength. Right. So when you're actually in it, you know, you'll be focusing on that, but you could do a little prep work on what in your life could really use that masculine strength, sun energy that you specifically want to be, you know, taking it in for, just so you have that in form when you're in the ritual. And then you mentioned nourishing, with the meal and friends. So there could be some things around what you want to nourish, and it could be the same things that want the strength. But the other thing I was going to say is if you have friends there and it feels right, you could have each friend share one thing that they celebrate about you and take that in.
I like that. And then I also thought, because I would love to just honor everything, to bring flowers as well as a gratitude for all that has come through, and really honoring not just the challenges, but all of the beauty that has come through in this past year, and really having time to give back a gratitude of either making like a flower mandala on the beach or offering them to the ocean.
So. I love it. And again, if you want to do prep work on that, to just make a list of what are the things that you have gratitude for from this last year.
Okay, awesome. Thank you so much.
Yeah, beautiful and great ideas for all of us. Who else? Who wants to share? Jennifer.
I can share. I love everything that David just said. That was beautiful. So I had this honoring the year prior, and really writing down all the milestones, the moments, good and bad, all of that. But then I had the idea of like releasing balloons or lanterns or something like that to symbolize like the letting go of those things to make room for what's coming in the following year. And then really like celebrating that release, and then setting intentions with an object or rocks or something like that, that I could maybe put on my altar and just have there for the year. So that's what came to me. But I also love that nourishing of like having your friends give you a word or something that can really nourish us to move forward in that year. I thought that was really beautiful.
Yeah. Well, you get to take some of that too. And yeah. Those are great ideas. I love it. I love the idea of releasing the things out. Yes.
Yeah.
Good. Anyone else want to share? Michelle.
For my 50th birthday a couple of years ago, I'm the organizer. So I did organize a girls' weekend, but I asked them to take care of everything, to bring all the food and arrange who was going to cook what. So it was just this practice of receiving for the weekend. And then the thing that I want to now pull in to everyone else's birthday as well is the book On the Day You Were Born.
I love that book.
Oh my, I've never heard it. And so one of the friends had brought it and she read it to me, and of course I'm just sobbing. And I thought, this, what a beautiful ritual to read that. I have the book and then I'll pass it around, and on people's birthdays and on my own birthday, I would love to have someone read that to me and for me. And so that's a new ritual that I'm bringing in.
I love that. I love that so much. Thank you for reminding me of that book. For anyone that hasn't heard of it, it's a kid's book, but it's an adult book too. It's amazing. On the Day You Were Born. Okay, good. Anyone else have anything else they want to share? Or else I'll give us another ritual to brainstorm. Vlada.
I loved all these ideas, and I wanted to add that I would, early in the day, I would love to have a meditation that would allow to receive any either intuition or higher guidance to come through.
Yeah, I love it. So it's like we know what we know, but then what other intuition or from spirit or, you know, guidance wants to come through on that auspicious day for us. I love it. Kelly.
One thing that I would love to do now that I am more confident in my claiming healing practitioner stance. I did this very early on when I was studying, when I just started my shamanic training, and we make these prayer bundles that are called despachos, and put like different, they're really about coming into balance and right relationship with the earth. And you put all these different symbols in generally to, it's like both an offering, but also sort of a set of prayers that you put in, but it begins with, let's come into right relationship with all the elements and all the peoples and the farmers and the food and all the things. And so I did one of those as an offering to community. And then I asked people to put their blessings in for the earth. And so I love the idea of doing something like that now, and just also giving the space for, I'm going to say this other piece, which is that within one of my longest program that I offer my clients, I offer them like a personalized retreat. And I keep trying to get one of them to take my offer of doing this for their birthday, where I get to call in the blessings for them, because very, very hard to ask that for yourself. Nobody yet has accepted. But so we end up doing some other retreat. But I love this idea of just saying, like, let's bring your loved ones together and give them space to speak the things they love about you and the blessings they have for you.
Yes.
So anyway, I'm holding out that I'm going to get somebody who says yes.
I think you will. I think you will. And I'll add, just again, there's so many different ways to do ritual, but I'll add another element to what Kelly is just saying. Oftentimes what I'll do, if it's a birthday situation, or even any other situations, sometimes with a house blessing, where a person's community is coming together to celebrate them, right before, sometimes like a pregnant mother, right before, you know, she's gonna give birth, is to not only share the blessings, but I invite the participants to bring a bead. And then before they share the blessing, they infuse the blessing onto the bead, and I'll string a bracelet or a talisman from the beads that then you have as a reminder of the blessings, or you can take into the birthing room with you to have all of those blessings and strength, or whatever it is. So making the intangible tangible for use and coming back to and continuing the embodiment of it all. Monique.
I'm moving through tears right now because I don't celebrate my birthday. My birthday falls near the holidays. No one's ever around. So always got gypped. So what I used to do, you know, friends and family are traveling, they're out of town. There was always someone who stayed in town or whatever. And I just call them up, hey, want to go get drinks after work? And then I'd say, oh, and by the way, it's my birthday. Or I'd buy a cake. Hey, let's go do this thing. And by the way, it's my birthday. And then it would become a celebration. But I generally don't tell anybody it's my birthday because nobody's ever around. Because why bother planning anything? Because I'm just going to get disappointed. No one's going to be there. Everyone's got their own lives and families and traveling. So this one's hard for me. Yeah. When you asked the question, I thought, oh, this is going to be easy. And then just hearing everyone's rituals, it's like, oh, I don't celebrate my birthday. Yeah. But I'm good with rituals in other areas.
Yeah.
It's just this one is hard.
Yeah. Yeah. And I get it. Having a birthday on the holidays. My mom's birthday is on Christmas. So yeah, I've seen it firsthand. So first, I really want to honor and acknowledge how hard that is, both in the reality of it and then like all the stories we can make up too with it. It's hard. And so I just really wanna acknowledge that. And tell me if I'm getting this right. I think what I'm hearing from what you're sharing is that you would like to have some ritual on your birthday or some more of a marking on your birthday. Am I getting that right?
Yeah, I suppose so. Everyone else does it. Why can't I, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I wish I just had like a magic wand and I could make people completely be available, but I can't. But what I can do is offer some suggestions. So one is to have the courage. You might get hurt, I can't promise not, but to have the courage and say, you know, I want to make a party or whatever it is for myself this year and invite folks and let them know you're feeling vulnerable because you know it's the holidays and it's time for family and there are other things and that you haven't been able to have this and it's really important for you. And, you know, if it's possible, can they be there and see? If you're feeling a little less courageous, it could be with a friend or two as you've been doing, but let them know beforehand. Maybe that's the stretch. Or create a solo ritual for yourself. I actually don't like to be with people. I tolerate my family for dinner because I have kids. And I don't want to hurt John's feelings, but like the whole day until dinner for me, Virgo woman, I do my own rituals all day long and make it like meaningful for myself. Not saying you have to do a day long ritual, but even if it's a half hour, an hour, what can you do to mark the moment and make it really meaningful for you?
Yeah, good ideas. I've done some of those. They didn't work out. Yeah. It's okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing. My gosh, it's already 4:25. Okay. In our few minutes, let me ask you this. If you're working with clients, or if not, you can even think for yourself or friends. But if you're working with clients, hone in on clients or one particular client. which of your clients or friends are ready for a ritual, maybe because they are ready to release something in this symbolic way. They are ready to own something in this, making the tangible intangible. They are ready to set a new intention or vision in a sacred play way. What are some moments or occasions that you can bring in ritual with clients? And let's just hear a couple of different ideas on that. Usually, like, specific ideas help generate more ideas and understanding. So where are some moments where it would be really great for a client to do a ritual? Deva?
Well, just this week being Beltane and then Lunar Beltane on Thursday or Friday, kind of depending on where you are, I feel like just that cross quarter holy day between equinox and summer solstice to really invite people into our fertility, or, you know, maybe if they can't do a full maypole, just even like looking at the act of wrapping a ribbon around something to symbolize the coming of spring and fertility and new beginnings and creation. So.
Beautiful, I love it. Yeah, using any of the earth, the ways the earth is moving or the sun is moving are great general things, absolutely. Good. Michelle is saying in the chat, a client recently left a job and is calling in new work. So some kind of like release ritual of what needs to be released or let go of from the old job, so she can be, or they can be open to whatever, to be able to call in the new job. A beautiful moment for that. Good. Who else? I'd love to hear one or two more. Anyone have any ideas? Kelly's saying beginnings and endings in general. Yep, divorces, starting new businesses, relationships, babies, any of that. Vlada saying my son turning 13, passing into teenage. Yes, any kind of rite of passage, right? Passing into teenage. I mean, Penina didn't. I had this whole getting her period ritual prepared for Penina, which she absolutely rejected and didn't want to have anything part of. But you know, the crossing into that menopause ritual. Just as an example, part of what I had for Penina is actually when I was pregnant with her, my group of wise women who I do ritual with, they all wrote letters for her to open up when she got her period and put it into this like beautiful box. And anyway, she wasn't so into the box, but it could have worked in another situation. All right.
Maybe those letters were for you, of like what you were going meant for you to open.
As I always joke in my household, at some point when Penina was younger, we were taking a walk and it was a full moon, and she's an actress. She's always been an actress. And she turns to me and she goes, "Mommy, you're so all about the moon, but I'm so jazz hands." That is the story of our life. I will leave you with that. My invitation is to think about if this conversation has been resonating for you and calling to you, start to think about how to slip ritual into your own life and look for the moments with clients where it could be really impactful for them. I am sending you all a lot of love, and I will be thinking about you, and I will see you in 2 weeks. Bye.